thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
When the pastor asked me to speak, he said 10 minutes. Now, I'm not sure as I can tie 66 years into 10 minutes, but we'll see. Well, I was the youngest of four children born to my mother and father. My father farmed, of course, and all my uncles farmed, and all my aunts married farmers. So you can understand why I farm then. It's in the blood. But my mother and father always went to church all their days. So I, of course, went to Sunday school and went to church too. And in my teenage years then, at 15 and a half, I left school because I was the first of the year that they were able to leave at 15, but then they had to stay to 16, so I was the first to had to stay to 16. But at 15 and a half years old, my father, he had in his first heart attack. And of course, I was needed in the farm, so that was my school days over, and I wasn't the least bit sorry. But later on in my teens then, I would have been bothered with my appendix back and forth now and again, but they always flared up, but oh, everything was all right again, and this time my appendix got really bad. And after a couple of days, one afternoon I went into the doctor's, and the doctor never really said to me that. She says, you're straight for the hospital. So down I had to go to the hospital, and they had to call the man and do a major surgery that afternoon. That night, actually, it was, I think maybe about 11 o'clock. But I woke up a couple of days later in the bed, and all the surgeons and doctors and stuff were standing around the bed that, and he said to me, he says, you're a lucky boy, he says, because if you wanted to come to us that evening, he says, you'd been dead in the morning. But you know, when I look back, that was God's hand in my life. Well, of course, you know, from that onwards, done the usual thing, got married, had four children. And I would have to say for about 32 years, I only knew about God. I didn't know God. Even though I was at church and stuff, they never really mentioned getting saved or anything like that at church and things like so. But then, after 32 years, some very stressful things started in my life. And I was waking up in the middle of the night, and every nerve in my body was jumping, and I had to rise out of bed. And it was more or less I was having marriage problems at that stage. And that would have been in the 1988, the winter of 1988. And there was a couple of nights, but one night in particular, I just felt so alone, and probably in a sense not loved or whatever, that I didn't feel I could carry on. I couldn't see tomorrow. But that was the first time that God actually spoke to me, because he told me that I would break my mother's heart and I wouldn't get to heaven. Because my notion of heaven was that I would live my life, and a couple of years, maybe or a year before I would die, I would become good living. And then I would go to heaven, which was totally wrong. But I caught on then, and when I was raised in the middle of the night, all nerved up, I don't know what, how or what, but I lifted the Bible and started reading a chapter or two. And I found that calmed me down, and then I was able to get back to sleep. And I'd have been reading verses, and like Genesis 37, verse 24, the story of Joseph. And Joseph was in the pit. Now, I'm sure Joseph felt his brothers didn't love him. He was on a lonely place, and I could relate to him, you see. Because to me, the Bible was just a history book. But then the Bible coming to me was a Bible for here and now. And I read then on in chapter and Job in chapter 1. And of course, Job was a farmer. That pleased me. I was very interested then. But you know, during the story of Job, he lost everything, even his health. And I found out then, like, well, you know, I maybe wasn't too bad then compared to Job. But then I read on, and then John chapter 3, verse 17 spoke to me. For God sent not his Son into the world to be condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. And one night in March of 89, I wasn't keeping dates. I asked Jesus to save me, because I needed Jesus. I wasn't thinking on heaven. I needed Jesus in my life now to walk with me. And of course, from March to December, the marriage broke up and the Waynes left. And I would only have to describe it as like a death, but nobody died, because one day they're there and the next day they're gone. And that Saturday, it was a Saturday it was, and me and my father was working, and I had a serious longing that day to be in my own. And I told him that in the afternoon, I says, I'm getting into the house. I says, go you down home. He just lived at the bottom of the lane. I says, go you down home, and away he went. And I went into the house. My mother was away that day, and well, I didn't know at the time, but when she landed back, she said to me, or she said to my father, I hope you didn't leave him alone, or what are you doing down here? Because I didn't realize at the time, either the one or the other was with me, because they were feared that I would know that I was supposed to be so depressed. And they come up, of course, to me, and I went into the house that evening, and it was daylight at the time, and whenever they came in, it had got dark, and it was as though I met the Holy Spirit that evening, and that was what I needed in my life. Where God ministered to me, and you know, he healed my broken heart that afternoon. And I realized then that, you know, that God was with me from that day on. And I was going through a storm. But you know, there was disappointing things happened to me after that. Like, it's not an easy life. There were disappointing things happening, but you know, I was able to face them because I wasn't doing it alone. I was doing it with God, and I know God was with me. I better not tap maybe on too much longer if the pastor's getting cross-looking here. But another wee incident I want to say to you is about probably 6 months ago, I had this dizziness, and it's had to go to the doctor, of course, and he said it's this vertigo. So he gave me these tablets. And there for about a month, they were asking me to do communion. I had to say no, because I didn't want to take a staggering fit up here at the front of the church, giving out communion. So, but they put me on these tablets, and right enough, they turned the worst of the dizziness away, but there still was a wee, nearly oddness, you would call them, a mod anyway, like, but still, there was this wee oddness. And they had the first healing meeting in the church, maybe about 4 months ago, or whatever it was. And well, I wasn't maybe man enough to come up to the front. I prayed. I never really asked anything of God for myself, but I prayed that day that God would heal me. So that was all right. A couple of weeks after that, I felt pretty good. And I says, I'm going to stop taking these tablets, because if the dizziness goes back again, I can just take them again. I know I hadn't had a dizzy spell since. There again, God has touched me, you know. But you know, I was lost, and I didn't know it. But I knew of God, but I didn't know God. And God revealed himself to me in his Holy Spirit that afternoon. And I suppose I wouldn't have had the 28th of December if I wouldn't have had the time in March when I asked him into my heart. But to me, the day I was saved was the 28th of December of 89. And you know, you read about Job, and you read at the end of Job, that God restored unto Job his family again. Well, in my situation, my son had come back to me, and he's actually farming with me. And, of course, I met Beatrice and the boys, and there was a family restored back onto me. I suppose I just, down to heart, I was just a family man, no matter what. But, you know, all my days, God has been good to me. He has been there in the tough times as well as the good times. Amen.
There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting.
sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You are wisdom unimagined. Who could understand your ways? Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly, compassionate and kind. Hold me, and your promises are my delight. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are so. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. Even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good and for your glory. Even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Held secure by faith in the Savior's hands, shielded by His grace, on Christ we stand. He is Lord of all, we should never doubt. Through uncertain times, He is solid ground. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. You have carried us through the raging sea, in the fire and flood we stand redeemed. Through the storms of life you will not let go. This our confidence that our anchor holds. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Held secure by faith in the Savior's hands, shielded by His grace, on Christ we stand. He is Lord of all, we should never doubt. Through uncertain times, He is solid ground. You have carried us through the raging sea, in the fire and flood we stand redeemed. Through the storms of life you will not let go. This our confidence that our anchor holds. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Lovely. Thank you so much, everyone who has taken part this evening. I take it these words are for me to then just sing another wee line or two, Mark. Okay, I don't want to empty the building just yet. Folks, it's just fantastic, isn't it, to have our first mission for quite a few years. It's actually my first ever mission, so I feel hugely privileged and humbled to be part of the leadership team who have planned and organised this mission for many, many months. A mission, as you know, titled New Beginnings, and that's our prayer and our heart's desire that it would be a new beginning for many people in many different ways. So, yeah, just super excited for what we believe that God wants to do among us during the next 6 nights. Can we just pray for a moment, just commit this time to the Lord, ask him just to speak through his word to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for that anchor that we've been listening about. Lord, we thank you for the faithful God that we know that you are. Lord, we thank you for William's testimony that, Lord, even in his darkest hour, at his lowest ebb, at the very bottom of the valley, that, Lord, you met him there. And, Lord, we're inspired by, Lord, the fact that you reached down to us where we are at our level. And we thank you, Lord, for the work of grace in William's life and in all of our lives, of those who know you. And we pray, Lord, that during this mission, Lord, if there are those who as yet don't know you, that they will this week, this night, Lord, bow the knee and open up their heart and accept you as their Saviour. Lord, we pray if there's any, Lord, who are maybe not just walking as close with you as they ought to, we pray that this week we'd be a week of new beginnings for them. Lord, I say we'd rededicate and recommit their lives to you. So, Lord, we pray that you would just, Lord, fill all of our hearts this evening. Lord, we pray that even though this would be what we would call a gospel message, Lord, we pray that it would touch all of our hearts this evening. And, Lord, we pray that, Lord, by the time that this service is over and we've had our fellowship afterwards, Lord, we pray that we would leave better people, more resolved to follow you closer, to love you deeper, and to serve you more willingly. And so, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for us and everything that you mean to us. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. A young man was shopping in a supermarket and he noticed a little old lady was following him around. If he stopped, she stopped. Furthermore, she kept staring at him. She finally overtook him at the checkout, and she turned to him and said, "I hope I haven't made you feel ill at ease. It's just, you look a little bit like my late son." And he answered, "Well, that's okay. I know it's silly, but if you'd call out, 'Goodbye, Mum,' as I leave the store, it would make me feel really, really happy." So she went through the checkout, and as she was on her way out of the store, the man called out, "Goodbye, Mum." The little old lady waved and smiled back at him. Pleased that he had brought a little sunshine into somebody's day, he went to pay for his shopping. "That comes to £122.50, said the assistant. "How come so much? I only bought 3 items. The clerk replied, "Yeah, but your mother said you'd be paying for her things too." It's always good to have a wee laugh, isn't it? Folks, as you know, it's our New Beginnings mission, and we will be running this right through until Saturday night. The message this evening that I believe God has just given me is titled Broken Bridge Road. I'm sure we've all seen images of a broken bridge, something similar to this, whether that's been a poorly built bridge in a developing country, or maybe a bridge that's been deliberately destroyed in a war-torn country. We've all seen those images on our TV screens. Near where our home is in Dollingstown, you'll find an actual road called Broken Bridge Road. The wee red dot signifies where it is. If your eyesight's any good at all, you'll see that we're in Ballymoney, way up near the top edge, and Broken Bridge Road is kind of County Down direction. It's about 70 miles south of Ballymoney lies this little road. It's about a half a mile long. It's an ordinary little road, but it's called Broken Bridge Road. And Broken Bridge Road lies next to a place called Lawrencetown. It's a small village along the banks of the Upper Ban, and it's located about 2 miles from Banbridge. And this broken bridge road is often used as a shortcut by many motorists. Esther and I have often travelled on this road, especially when we're going down to see our daughter Kip in Dublin. And of course, she gets married 5 weeks today, so I think we'll be heading that direction fairly soon. In fact, I was on this very road less than a week ago. The fact is, folks, that we all travel on a broken bridge road. Every single day of our lives, from the day of our birth to the day of our departure, the journey is known as the road of life. And this road leads to either one of two destinations. So it's one road, the road of life. It's two destinies, which we will cover in a moment. And it's one decision that we all have to make. And even if you don't make a decision, you've actually made a decision by default, because the Bible's very clear on many topics, but it's especially clear when it talks about roads. So let's take a wee look at what the Bible actually says about two particular types of roads. In Matthew's Gospel, there are two verses in chapter 17, and it's on the screen in front of you. In verse 13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Notice the word many. "But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life." And notice it says that only a few find it. So folks, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you are a born-again Christian, if there was a point in your life and in your experience where, just like William, you realized that you needed God to break through in your life and do something for you and change your life, well, then you change from being on the broad road to the narrow road, and you then became one of the minority people in society. And so we hear and we talk about these two roads, and two roads become two choices. So we've heard about these two roads, haven't we? The broad road and the narrow road. Another term for the broad road, for me, would be the broken bridge road. It's a road where most people travel on. Maybe you're on this broad road as we speak. Maybe there's somebody who will be listening online at some stage to our evening and to the message, perhaps somebody even in this evening, and you're walking on the broad road of life. And you would be with the majority of people who are walking and traveling on this broad road. But the problem is that there's an impasse. There is a problem, a blockage, and that blockage is what the Bible calls sin. You see, people these days, they don't like to be told about their sin. It's not politically correct to even mention the word sin or to tell somebody that they are a sinner. Perhaps 30 or 50 or 100 years ago, it was more acceptable language. People knew that they were sinners, and they knew that they had sin in their lives, and they knew that this sin had to be dealt with. But we live in a completely different day and age, as you know. You don't need me to tell you how society has changed so much. And so it's not really politically correct to say to anyone, "Oh, you are a sinner," because then we become a bigot, that we're looking down and we're upon someone and we're judging them. But the Bible is always correct. And it's always clear that our lives are broken from the very first chapter in Genesis right through to the end of Revelation. William talked about Job, and he talked about Joseph, and he talked about John. And if we had time to discuss all of the Bible characters, we would realize that everyone is broken in life one way or the other. Now, you might have your best clothes on or your best suit or your best whatever it is that you wear, ladies. And you might look the part, get all dolled up, as we would say. But inside, we can be broken and not show that to other people. And so the Bible's very clear when it says that our lives are broken, and it's because of sin. But the great news is, it's not even good news, it's great news, isn't it, that there is a cure. And there is a solution and there is a remedy. You see, the narrow road that a follower of Jesus has started to travel on is a road where the bridge has been repaired, where the onward journey to a glorious future is made possible. You see, the bridge is a symbol. It's a symbol of a link between one place and another. The bridge, or the link between us and God, is Jesus Christ. You'll remember that I talked a few moments ago that many motorists use the actual broken bridge road that I have referred to. They would use it as a shortcut to get to where they want to be. However, travelling on the broken bridge road of life, the broad road, won't lead us to the best destination. In fact, a road with a bridge that's not in operation will only lead us to a dead end, both in the physical and in the spiritual. You see, there are no shortcuts to heaven. There is nothing within us. There's nothing whatsoever in me or you or any of us, no matter how good a person we are. There's nothing within us that can make this journey possible, that can repair this bridge in ourselves, that can deal with the problem of sin. So how do we remedy this problem? How do we leave the broad road, the broken bridge road that leads only to death and destruction? And how do we leave that, and how do we join the narrow road which leads to forgiveness and peace and joy and genuinely real happiness? Well, as I say, we can't actually do that in ourselves. We haven't got the ability, we haven't got the know-how or the strength to deal with our own problem, with our own brokenness, with our own sin. We simply cannot resolve sin in and of ourselves. You see, it's impossible for us to fix the bridge that is broken. That's the job of one man. It's the job of a man called Jesus. And the good news is that he has already fixed this problem. He has already repaired and fixed the bridge that has been broken. The bridge that spans heaven and earth that had been broken because of sin has been repaired by Jesus. The gulf that existed between us and God has been restored by Jesus Christ. And he did this, as we know, 2,000 years ago when he paid for this bridge to be reinstated back to God with his very own life. And so what do we have to do? Well, number one, we have to accept the fact that we're on the wrong road. We have to accept the fact that we're on the road that will lead us to a devastating destination, a destination that's without God and without hope. Secondly, we need to accept the fact that we cannot fix the problem ourselves, the problem of sin and brokenness, for it's impossible for us to deal with or do away with sin. Thirdly, we have to accept the fact that Jesus has made it possible for us to change direction. He has made it possible for us to change paths from being on the broad and popular road, which leads to death and destruction, to the narrow road that leads to forgiveness and happiness and life. And lastly, we have to accept the fact of what Jesus did. We have to accept the fact of what Jesus did for us, that he paid for our salvation and he paid for our sin. He paid with his own blood and his own life. And so it's up to us to ask him. It's so simple to ask him to forgive our sin, to change us, to fix the problem, to make us clean. And he will absolutely do that. He will. He will put us on this new road, this new pathway, this new beginning, just as the title of our mission states, of new beginnings. And believe me that if you take this option and you make this decision to hand your life over to Jesus, you will never ever regret it. You will know, those of us, those of you who know us, know that we love the North Coast. We don't hide the fact that it's our happy place when we have a day off or we have an hour spare and we can possibly head up to the North Coast. We do that and we love it. I know a few of you have seen a few videos that I've shot just on our beaches recently, giving an invite to folks and putting it on social media. And as I walked the beach this week, as I walked the beautiful beach, and they're so clean and tidy, it's just an absolute privilege to be able to drive just 15 minutes away and just feel the sand among your toes. Well, that's difficult if you got your shoes on, of course. But I was reminded of a story that some of you perhaps have heard before. And it's a story of a little boy. It was very, very early one morning. And it was on a beach very, very much like the White Rocks beach that we have just outside Port Rush. And this man was walking, and in the distance, he could see a little boy. And there were literally thousands upon thousands of starfish that had been washed up upon the shoreline. Thousands of them, innumerable. You couldn't actually count how many there were. And as closer the man got to the little boy, and what he could see was that the little boy was reaching down and he was picking up starfish and he was flinging them into the ocean. And he would do it again and again. But of course, the boy was making very little progress because there were so many starfish to save and to throw back into the ocean. And the guy came up to him and he said to the young boy, he says, "What on earth are you doing? You're not making a difference. What difference will you make?" And the boy looked at the starfish in his hand and he said, "It'll make a difference to this one." And he threw it into the ocean. Remember hearing that story many, many years ago. I love that story. That story says so much about the broad road, about the narrow road. Will you let Jesus pick you up and rescue you from heading to death and destruction? Will you let him pick you up and divert you from the wrong road and the wrong destination and give you a wonderful new life and an amazing new life full of new possibilities of peace and contentment and happiness and joy? Just the same image of that little boy taking that starfish that in and of its own right it couldn't save itself. It was destined to just expire. And the little boy gave it new life. It's our prayer tonight and this week, as different folks would come in and as hopefully people would listen online, that people would realize that, yes, there is sin in their lives. And listen, we've all sinned. The Bible says when we sin, we fall short of the glory of God. But it's fantastic news that there is a Savior who has already paid the price. He has mended and he's repaired the bridge that was broken between us and God, between heaven and earth. And it would be our prayer that there would be some who would receive forgiveness and would start a new journey and a new beginnings with the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.